It doesn't take very long to tell, after all, how one has been saved from hell and won for heaven. But then the people that come together, they would like to hear a little of the circumstances surrounding the conversion and things that led up to it. And so tonight, I would like to speak as did the apostle when he stood before Agrippa. He went back to his youth, and he sought to set in order before the great king the circumstances of his upbringing, which all played a great part in that final moment when, by the grace of God, he was delivered from going down to the pit. Now the psalm opens with those five remarkable words, "I love the Lord because." Everyone in the meeting, saved for eternity, loves the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are reasons why we love him. I love the Lord because. And there are a number of reasons why we love him. There are no reasons to be found within the Word of God why the Lord Jesus loved us. We'll never understand that, why God has loved us, and why the Lord Jesus Christ so loved us that he died upon the cross. It's beyond our human comprehension, and the mystery of it will engage our attention throughout eternity. Why that Christ loved us. But we who are saved, there are reasons why we can say, "I love the Lord." There are reasons why we can echo in testimony, "I love the Lord Jesus Christ." Of course, the greatest reason of all is given by John, the one that leaned on his breast at supper when he said, "We love him because he first loved us." But there are a number of reasons why the speaker can say, "I love the Lord." And around those few reasons, I would speak this evening for the sake of simplicity, and that you might be able to understand a little of God's gracious dealings and mercy with my soul. The first great reason, and there's never a day goes by, but I bow the knee and thank the Lord for it. I love the Lord because of the privileges into which I was introduced by birth. The privileges of birth. My father was saved many years ago when he was a boy of about 18 years of age in the town of Omagh in the county Tyrone. Two preachers came round at an early day to preach the gospel. Their message was both plain and simple. They preached man's ruin and God's remedy, and emphasized nightly the great need of the new birth. Ye must be born again. My father was brought up in the Church of Ireland, and he had never heard such strange tidings before. It was a new gospel in that part of the country at that early date. But he was led one evening through the speaking of the word to see his grave danger and his need of salvation. And through the words of a hymn that we sing so often, "I am coming, Lord, coming now to thee, trusting in the precious blood that flowed on Calvary," he was saved for eternity. And I can remember looking back to my earliest days of the godly instruction, and ever kept before our minds the grave necessity of every sinner out of Christ to be born again or never enter heaven. I was early taught that truth, the great need of being saved for eternity. My mother was saved in a gospel hall in the city of Edinburgh from which she hailed. And there, in tender days, having heard the gospel, she embraced the Savior of all mankind and was saved for eternity. And so my early life was one of privilege, having heard the gospel and having known from the very beginning that every person dying without the Lord Jesus must certainly perish in hell and in the lake of fire for all eternity. I always thank the Lord, too, that I was born in the north of Ireland, because of all the countries in the world, no country so favored and no place where the message is proclaimed more plainly and more clearly than in the north of Ireland. So I love the Lord for the early privileges into which I was brought at birth. I was born on the 27th day of May 1924 in the town of Lurgan in the county of Armagh. I was born in the home of Dr. Darling. My mother was a governess there. She came across from Scotland to work in the doctors. And so I was early associated with the Lord's people known as brethren. The doctor himself was one of the early brethren. And his prayer for me was that I would be early saved from going down to the pit. And so the first reason why I love the Lord is because of the privileges into which I was introduced by birth. But the second reason why I can say tonight I love the Lord is this, that I was graciously preserved for many years in sin and folly and on a path that could only end in destruction. Many a time those who have the highest favor are not the easiest to reach with the gospel. Many a time those who hear the truth most plainly are not those who respond anxiously to the message of salvation. And it could be in a meeting like this that there was the sum. And you have had many privileges, and you've had many opportunities, and you've had favors above others, and yet tonight you're in your sins, still without God and without Christ, and nearer hell than ever before. And so while I oftentimes thought about getting God's salvation, I never seemed to be able to get to the cross and to the one that died in shame upon the tree. While oftentimes in early days my soul was troubled lest I would miss the great salvation, yet I never seemed to be able to grasp the blessed truth that on that shameful tree of curse the Lord Jesus died in my ruined place. And when, as a boy at school, I became engaged with the early pleasures of sin, began to taste the follies of the world, my home became not to me a place of comfort and of rest, but a place which seemed more like a barrack, because my father was very particular and very strict, and the things of the world were not allowed in the home, and the pleasures of sin were not countenanced, neither going to any of the pleasures that young men engage in, and that children in early days seemed to have a desire to frequent. It was a strict home. I was brought up on old-fashioned lines. And early I found this, that in order to pursue a life of sin and pleasure and folly, then it must mean a cleavage from the restraints of home. And many a time I planned that while all was comfort and rest and kindness at home, that the day would come when I would break from it and go forth into the world to see its pleasure and its folly. Many a time my father sought to restrain me in such a course, but I was headstrong and possessed of a very headstrong nature and was determined to see the world and to engage in its sin and in its folly. In the year 1939, when the war broke out, I enlisted in the Royal Air Force, giving the long age on enlistment, and early found myself in the receiving station in Padgate, Lancashire, along with many of the youth of our land who had then enlisted and had gone to serve King and Country. I found myself perfectly at home in the ranks of the godless. The name of the Lord Jesus was never mentioned. The gospel was never preached. The word of God was never read. The pleasures of sin that I had tasted a little off in childhood days, now I can engage in them to the fullest measure. And so I early found in the companionship of the godless young men great fun and enjoyment. It wasn't long until I went deeper into things, leading from one thing to another, and a person soon becomes involved in pleasures and in sins and in folly. No one ever told me the way of salvation. No one ever invited me to go to a meeting. But week by week, when we would stand upon the yard and the post would arrive. Letters would come, and of course there would be a letter from home, and carefully folded inside the gracious words of a mother that was praying, was unfolded the little track. And as I opened those letters and saw the track unfolded, I would quickly take the track and put it away, lest any of the friends would know that I had a mother that was saved, or a father that was praying for me. I was ashamed of the gospel, and ashamed to be known as one who had a praying father and mother. Time would fail to relate of all the gracious dealings of the Lord in such a path of sin and folly, exposed to dangers that I need not go into here. Suffice to say that I was an air gunner, a sergeant air gunner in the Royal Air Force during times of peril and of danger. My last station was at Old Sarum, Salisbury, Wiltshire. And in September 1954, it was my great privilege to visit the city of Salisbury with its 50,000 people and to find a little gospel hall there that I had passed by many a time. And in meeting some of the Christians, I said, I would like to tell in that hall how the Lord saved me. So a meeting was arranged, and I was able to stand in that great city where once I had lived in sin and folly, and tell the people how the Lord had saved me for eternity. That was a few months ago, and what a joy it was, after 13 or 14 years, to return saved by the grace of God. I walked out the road at Salisbury. I looked over some of the green fields where I used to be crossing over, and the thought struck me, my body might have lain there in a tangled wreck, and my soul in hellfire, but for the mercy and kindness of God. I love the Lord tonight because He preserved my soul in paths of sin. I was 2 years in the merchant navy, and you know the merchant navy was no place for polite young men at that time. I engaged myself firstly as a galley boy on a Dutch vessel, and had been around quite a bit. And in the course of moving about, I had not only acquired the smoking habit, but also the drinking habit. I began to frequent the public houses and began to engage myself in the sins that young men of the day were so fond of, and acquired quite an interest in drinking and in carousing and in dancing and in gambling and in the poker school and in all sorts of sins that engage the attention of careless sinners as they go down the broad road that ends in the fire where the worm will never die and the fire will never be quenched. I was reminding my brother today, and I'm glad he came to the meeting tonight, that on one occasion I paid off a vessel in Bristol, and I went along to a college where he was training. And I remember the day well, my pocket was well lined with notes. And as I passed in, he reminded me, he said, Harold, you need to be saved, and it's time you were saved. And the tear in his eyes, I passed along from him, got away from his company, and went in to the picture palace, and slipped out and into the public house. And the Lord was gracious. Year after year, I was preserved in a mad course of sin and wickedness. And do you know the reason? Many a night at home, my father would get out of bed, and he would say to my mother, we'd better get out and pray for the boy. Many a night they bowed together and prayed that the Lord would preserve me, that he would keep my soul out of hell and save me for eternity. It seemed impossible that their prayer would ever be answered, but God heard. And tonight I love the Lord because He preserved me on the way to hell. And you're in the meeting this evening, and you're not saved. Still without God and without Christ, let me ask you this evening, have you never thought of the mercy and kindness of God? Why, if He had been strict to mark you in your guilt, you would not have been sitting in this meeting to hear these words of testimony and words of warning. Your body might have been long ago under the dust, and the snow that falls might have been falling tonight on your early grave and your soul in hell, young man, where the worm dieth not and their fire is not quenched. But God has been good, and you're in another meeting. It may be the last one you'll ever sit in, hearing the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and how you can be saved on the authority of the book and know a home in heaven when life is done. I beseech you this evening to stop before it's too late. I love the Lord because of preservation. My father was worried about me one time when I came home. A father gets worried about his son. And he asked me, would I not think of sure employment? And so with his help and the mercy and kindness of God again seen, I enlisted in the Royal Ulster Constabulary and was sent down to train as a recruit at Inniskill. My life and career there is well known to those who knew me before my conversion. A life of sin, a life of wickedness, the language of a foulest nature. My tongue was filthy. I had a filthy tongue before the Lord saved me. I was a profound swearer and curser, gambler and drinker of the various kinds. I'm ashamed to tell you. The woman left her water pot at the well. I don't want to go into it tonight. Many a time I lie in bed and think of it, till the tear fills mine eyes. The language used, and that fair name of the one who bears the marks of Calvary. What a wonderful friend, what a savior, to preserve such a vile creature. And you may be in the meeting this evening, and you may not have gone into such wickedness and sin, but remember God has a record on high, and be sure your sin will find you out. And in that coming day, when he unrolls the web of life and wheels the sinner around in his presence and reminds him of the past and of the guilt and that greatest of all sins in his sight, the sin of failing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, the sin of failing to get to the blood that was shed upon the cross. What a day that will be. But God in mercy preserved us further, even in the depot, and in days of sin and wickedness and lawlessness. I was court-martialed from the RUC and was dismissed from the force with a blackened character and came out of that force worse than when I went in. I remember returning to the city of Belfast in March 21, 1944, and was determined to enlist again in the merchant navy and go to sea and perhaps to some foreign land there to make a fresh start. I knew my father's heart would be broken and my mother's heart, and all concerned would be greatly broken when they would hear the news that I had again brought dishonor upon the name and again had brought dishonor upon my parents. I came here to the city. It was a cold day when I arrived. I had no overcoat. I was saying to Mr. Wallace tonight, the night I was saved, I had no such thing as overshoes to take off. For I hadn't even socks on the night I was saved. Nor I hadn't a shirt on me. When I passed up past the Ormel Gospel Hall, and I didn't know anything about the Gospel Hall, the day that the Lord saved me for eternity, I enlisted to go back again to the merchant service. I was to join the vessel on Friday, the 24th day of March, 1944. I remember going down to get the papers finally fixed for the boat that night. And I was down there at Sinclair's Corner. Walking along the pavement was a man in front of me, and he made to cross the street. It was in my mind, too, to cross over. But the dear man stepped off before me, and in a moment, a passing bus run him down. and I saw the crowd gathering. The man was ushered into eternity at my very feet in a moment of time. I had seen death many a time, had witnessed it. Solemn spectacle it is. But on this occasion, as I looked at that corpse lying at my feet and the crowd assembling, the thought filled my heart with horror and with fear. If that had been my body lying there, where would my soul have been for eternity? I was left in no doubt with the knowledge of the Word of God that I have, that if that had been my body, my soul would be in hell and under the wrath of God for eternity. There would be no heaven for me. I was through from the crowd. I can remember going up into the doorway in Sinclair's yonder and the crowd gathering. And I remember standing and watching as the ambulance came and the body was removed. And the crowd dispersed and all things went on as they were before. But I stood in the doorway and the rain was falling fast. And I thought about my past, my sins, and God to meet a holy God, and the judgment of God awaiting me. I trembled. It was so real to me. You know, there's someone that's been attending meetings every night during the last 3 weeks, and the reality of things has never been borne in upon your conscience. You can sit in this meeting tonight as if you were an ox or a beast of the field without a soul in danger. But let me tell you kindly this evening and in earnestness, as you sit here unsaved, your soul is in danger, young woman. In danger of being shut out of heaven and cruised up in hell and in the lake of fire, and yet you're not awakened to it, and life is slipping by, and eternity's coming, and you need to be born again. You must be saved or never enter heaven. And yet the multitude never seem to be alarmed, never seem to be awakened, but go on, and plunge out, to come back nevermore. Oh, tonight what it must mean for one soul to miss heaven. If only one in this meeting was to miss heaven, if only one dear man, and there may be an older man in the meeting, if only one dear woman, and there may be a mother in the meeting, without God's salvation, if only one man in this meeting was to miss heaven and waken up in hell, where there'll never be a ray of hope, and where there'll never be a gospel message preached. Dear ones, out of Christ tonight, flee from the wrath which is to come. Hell is real. Hell is real. I well remember hearing it in boyhood days. I well remember hearing solemn messages. But that was the loudest knock I ever got. Death at my feet. And in danger of going down, down into that place. Why, the terrors of it and the reality of it sobered me. I began to weep upon the streets of this very city in which we stand tonight. To weep like a child as I thought of it. I live and I die and I wake in hell. Real thing to be awakened up and to be in trouble. Many a one has been awakened. And it may be someone that's very meeting awakened. Awakened in the nights of their past. Awakened in other meetings. Awakened at death and at acts of providence. But you fall asleep every time. And the tear is dry. And you're nearer eternity's ages than ever you've been before. Get awakened up to a dear one that if you miss God's salvation, heaven's glory you'll never see. If you miss getting to the blood that was shed upon the cross, heaven, you cannot enter. The only blood-washed ones are there, the ransomed and forgiven. Awaken. What was I to do? I knew only of one man in this city that was saved. He had served with me in the force, a sergeant in the RUC. I didn't know where he lived. I found out the address, and it was number 85 Delight Street off the Armour Road. I haven't the price of the tram. That day, I wandered around the city and thought about my sin and guilt and thought about home and thought about all the verses that I'd learned in the Sunday school. For I'd learned the scriptures and repeated them over and thought of them. Thought of John 3:16. For I had heard that many a one was saved through it. I went over the words of it and thought of it and thought about eternity and where I would be forever if I missed God's salvation. What must I do? What must I do? When people get anxious, there's no need to press them. When a person gets anxious, he'll seek the Lord's servant and the Lord's people, and he'll seek the word of God. There'll be no need to push at them and to press the issues upon them. And so I was awakened and concerned. I wandered about most of the day without food, and the day was wet and cold. I began to walk to the armory. I walked up here and along the other side there, on the other side of this very street from this building, and walked on up and over the bridge and found Belle Street. It was dark. It must have been about 8 o'clock. I moved down the street and found number 85 and knocked the door. I knew the Christian man and his wife were inside, and they would tell me more of the way of salvation. A stranger came to the door that I had never seen before, and I asked, "Was the sergeant and his wife at home?" And they said, "No. They're away out somewhere to some meeting, some prayer meeting." And so I turned away. She didn't ask me in or ask me anything more. I turned away from the door. And I remember there was some area of shelter standing in the street. I went down along and in to get some shelter from the storm and rain. And I stood there and said, "I here I am. And I've heard the gospel from childhood. And I've lived in sin and folly. And I'm awakened up and I know I need to be saved. And here I am standing here and I can't understand it. And I don't know how to get saved or how to grasp it. And I'm standing in the darkness and there's nobody to tell me the way of salvation." And I remember putting my hand up. I never shed a tear from I was a little boy, nor I never had any fear of anything. I stood yonder with my hand upon the shelter and put my head to it. And I said, "God be merciful to me, the sinner. God have mercy on me, or I'll die and go down to hell. Lost forever." That's all I'm sorry. The dear people came home from the meeting, and they heard that someone was at the door, and a polo sweater on, and an old suit. Yes, it was borrowed when they took the uniform from me. A constable came in, and he said, "Harry, you would need a suit." Said, "I would." And he said, "I've an old suit, and I'll give you it." And he gave me the old suit. And I remember I had no case, and I had no goods. I left home with everything nice and clean, and I'm going out, and I've nothing. Only a polo sweater and a borrowed pair of trousers, and an old coat, and there I am, on the way to hell. Think of it. God's goodness. I love the Lord because He dealt in grace and awakened me to see my need of salvation. That man and his wife, they went up and down the street searching, and they found me in the back of the area of shelter and brought me into the house. And of course, when I came in, I just blurted out and said, "Listen, I would need to be saved. The things I've heard all along have been impressed upon me today more than ever. And I'm at the end of my tether, went as far as I can go, and I would need to be saved." And the fixed the book. There was a lot of scriptures read. I can't remember them all. One that was specially read was 1 Peter 2 and verse 24. "To his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree. And he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." And around about 10:30, bowed on my two knees, up on number 85 Daylight Street along there, I realized that on the cross of shame and curse at Calvary, God's blessed Son, the Lord Jesus, died in my place, bare my sins in his own body on the tree, and resting upon that, I go free of shame and curse at Calvary. God's blessed Son, the Lord Jesus, died in my place, bear my sins in his own body on the tree, and resting upon that, I go free, I'm saved. I said to the people, I have got saved. And they said, now don't be telling anyone, it's a very solemn, serious business to say you're saved. You know, there's quite a number of people say they're saved, but then, alas, the life doesn't prove the reality of the profession made, and many profess, and alas, a little while, and they give evidence they have never been born again. But I said, I realize that the Lord Jesus has died that I might go free, died for me. I thanked him for salvation, thanked him there and then for dying in my place. 11 years will soon have run their course. 11 years. You know, it's a fair wee while. Mr. Wallace will tell you that he was saved 40 years ago. That's a longer time. Mr. Foster in the meeting and others are saved 60 years. Can tell you of a longer time than that. But 11 years have come and gone from that memorable night around 10:30 on the 24th of March, 1944. And I remember that through the night, I slept but little. I was out of bed. I got down. I thanked the Lord for dying upon the cross. Thank God for giving his son. Out and out of bed, I could hardly wait for the morning to get word whom to tell them that God had come in and saved me, saved my soul. My dear father came up on the train, and the sergeant met him down at York Street, and when he came off the train and saw the uniform, the first thing he said was, "Is it the lad?" He says, "Yes." "He's not in the police force anymore. He's been dismissed." And he said, "My, that's terrible." But he said, "Up yonder last night, he professed to be saved for eternity." And my father said, "Now, be very careful, because there's no telling what's wrong." He says, "Maybe he wants something off you. He would tell you that, you know, to get something off you." "Ah, but," he said, "I believe he's saved." And he came up along and down into Daylight Street, and I was sitting there. He came in and he said, "Well, how you've got saved?" "As I did last night here, got saved. Saw that the Lord Jesus had died for me from the cross, and I'm very sorry, Father, for all the trouble I've been to you all along the years. You see, that's nothing. Just forget about that. Have you really realized that the Lord Jesus has taken your place?" "Did I, yes?" "Last night here, about 10:30, my," says, "that's grand. We'll have to tell your, get home and tell your mother." And so I went home and told her. Many a night I'd staggered round the Waveney Road while I was leered. Many a night I'd waited till the light was in her room and would slip in. Went along there and told her that God had saved me. And she threw her arms around me and said, "I prayed for years that you might be saved. God is good. I love the Lord because in mercy he has saved my precious soul." Let me ask you this evening, has he saved your soul? Has he saved your soul? Is your soul saved for eternity as you sit in this meeting? If this were the very last night you would ever be in a meeting, if it were the last night on earth, is your soul saved? If your body was laid in a casket and a grave opens amidst the smooth
and your body lowered in. Tell me, if it should happen some of these days, where would your spirit be?
Where would you be? Face it tonight. To someone in the meeting, I would be closed out of heaven. Well, listen, you need not perish. Listen to these words once again. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He only had the one. He only had the one son. He gave him. Gave him to Bethlehem. Gave him to Calvary. Gave him to the city, to the crown of thorns, to the death of shame, to between the thieves he suffered, that sinners might be saved. And God is desirous of your salvation. Though your sins be many, there could be some in this meeting and your sins as dark and as black as the darkest night. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sins. Oh, dear ones out of Christ and bound for hell tonight, God has given his all that you might be saved, that you might never perish and go down to weep and wail forever. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with a stripe we are healed. I love the Lord because the good wine has been kept till now. Not to the last. Some people say the good wine has been kept to the last, but it has been kept till now. It's always getting sweeter and fresher and better the further along the road we go. The good wine has been kept till now. God's salvation, it satisfies. Christ the Lord satisfies. His word is precious to everyone that loves that blessed name. You know, when you get saved, your fortune's made for time and for eternity. A man said to me one night after a meeting, I wouldn't like to be saved. He said, for you can't go to the dance, and you can't go to the public house, and you can't go to the dog course. You cannot go to Celtic Park. I said, my dear man, I could go to all those places, but I have no desire to go. No desire to go. The Word of God, why, that book, I never had any interest in it. Neither had any one of these believers here any interest in it. When you get saved, the book opens up, and the Christ of the book, the girl that got a book one time, she never read it. It lay with a dust upon it. And one day her mother saw reading it and scanning it and reading it. And she was always at the book. And the mother said, why are you reading that book that once you had no interest in? She said, I have fallen in love with the author. With the author. You know, when you get saved, you get the keys to the Word of God that becomes a precious book to you. And you have a Christ that satisfies now, not only in heaven that we're going to be satisfied, but we're satisfied now with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's joy when you get saved, and there's peace when you get saved, and there's lasting joy when you know your sins forgiven. What joy it is tonight at the close of the day to lie down and say, well, if the Lord comes, I was always afraid of the Lord's coming. If the Lord comes tonight, I'm going to be with the Christians in that happy meeting in the air. If death overtakes me, I'm going home to that land of fadeless day. If sickness comes, all is well with my soul. Is it well with yours tonight for eternity? May the Lord lead you to his gracious Son, the Savior who for sinners died. And you know, at the end of the journey, it would be glorious. If it was only here that we were saved, it were well worthwhile. But at the end of the journey, when life is done,
and through the mists of earth, we leave behind the sorrows of this little while.
And we go into his presence. What a place heaven must be. None of us can fully understand it, the glories of it. And best of all, we'll see the one who bowed his sacred head in death upon the cross. And we'll look at him. It'll not be the many mansions. It'll not be the golden streets of such that are, nor the gates with pearls, nor loved ones gone before. We shall press in past every living creature there, and we'll look upon that blessed, wondrous person who forever shall be the center of our gathering, and will fall at his feet and will cry unto him who loved us and loosed us from our sins in his own blood. It's well to be saved. Tell me tonight, will you be there amongst that throng, all arrayed in robes of white? In less than 100 years from tonight, in less than 60 years, there'll be very few. Likely all of us in this meeting will have gone. You from your farm, you from your office, you from the street, you from the home, you from around Orville Hall, preacher and healer, saved and unsaved, will have gone into eternity that never ends. And it's going to be heaven's joy or hell's gloom. Where will you be? May God grant that everyone in this company might be in heaven when the journey's done, at home with the Lord. Dear friend out of Christ this evening, flee to the Lamb of God. Trust the Lord Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. May the Lord bless his word and the little testimony given. For his name's sake, shall we pray. Gracious Father, we ask thee to bless these words of truth and soberness to everyone that has heard. We thank thee for any measure of help and any measure of the presence of God realized in the meeting and in this meeting. Oh God, we pray to awaken sinners somewhere in the meeting who are careless of their souls immortal, heeding not the call of God. Others may be touched and awakened and concerned. Lead to the Savior tonight. Lead men to that blessed one who died for our sins and was buried in the garden tomb and lives in heaven beyond the reach of sorrow forever. We thank thee that he's a blessed Savior. His desire is that all men should be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And he upon that throne would speak this evening and say, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Lord, answer the prayers of thy people. Answer the prayers of mothers for sons that are here, and the prayers of fathers for girls who are here, and the prayers of some whose lips are sealed in death and who are at home with the Lord, and loved ones that are here still without Christ. And we pray thee, O God, for brothers who have been praying for brothers, and sisters who have been praying for sisters, and wives who have been praying for husbands. And here are a great number of people, and many of them out of Christ. God, save one soul. One soul for eternity that's worth more than all the world combined. Worth more than all that earth can give. If one soul from this company would meet us in glory, saved from hell, we would feel that the work was well worthwhile. God, save many souls tonight, whatever the gospel preached, and grant that as a result of these few words that we have spoken, and thou knowest the heart, we pray that our Lord Jesus, the blessed one who died in shame, whose love for sinners was so greatly tried, whose brow was crowned with thorns, whose back was given to the scourge and lives in heaven, that he might be exalted in this meeting. We thank thee for the grace of God. We praise thee, Father, for the love that thou didst manifest in saving our poor souls.
And on that day we shall thank thee again and again for him who died and rose again. We ask thy blessing upon this people in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.